I am resolved. I feel like it was a really good song for this evening. I have just a few thoughts to share on commitment. Commitment is kind of like a book in a way. We know with books, if the covers, both front and back, if they say one thing, that's all well and good. But we know that it's the material behind these that really matter. And being committed to something is more than just saying that we're going to do it or say that we're committed to it. That's just the cover of it. But it's saying it and doing it. The actions need to match our words. Tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 33. Matthew 5 and verse 33. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told that you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Now, there's a lot of different and differing thoughts about what it is that Jesus means here and how it applies to our life, and I don't want to get too much into the speculation, but I do want to focus on a really big truth that I believe is shown by what Jesus is saying here. It is not important that we swear that we are going to tell the truth about something or that we swear that we are going to do something. In fact, Jesus says, don't do that. But it is important that we do tell the truth. That we do what we say that we're going to do. Did you see this? Did you do that? Well, a yes or a no suffices to that. Are you going to do this? Will you do this? Well, a yes or a no suffices to that. But what actions should follow our answer? Should it not be that we should give more truth if we're asked about it? Or should it not be that our actions should match what it said that we were going to do? Or is Jesus saying that let your answer be yes, yes, or let your answer be no, no, but then it doesn't matter what you do after that point? And this applies to all aspects of our life. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not make false vows. And the Hebrew word here for false vows can mean perjury. You know, like, do not commit perjury. Anyone who is trying to be morally conscientious, whether they are a Christian or not, or just anybody who wants to avoid breaking the law, might agree that that's wrong, right? Like committing perjury, and there's a lot of people that wouldn't want to commit perjury in a legal sense. But what about telling a small lie to someone that we just met? Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. I don't know that a great many people do that, but let's say, I would say that there's probably a lot of people that would at least say that that's important. If somebody tells the Lord that they're going to do something, if someone makes a commitment to the Lord, I think a lot of people would say, yeah, you should keep that. It's the Lord that you made that to. But what if we say that we're going to do something, just to someone that we met? Are these things not important too? You know what our God loves? Truth. We see in Psalm 15 and verse 1, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Colossians 3 and verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on a new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. But we see this in Proverbs 6 and verse 16. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. And I don't know if they are listed in any specific order here, but we do read that the lying tongue is second. Now, there are some that say about this passage that Jewish people in Jesus' day believed that if you made an oath and the Lord's name was not invoked in it, then it wasn't necessarily binding. Maybe hearkening back to what we read in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13, you shall fear the Lord, only the Lord your God, and shall worship him and swear by his name. So if you use the Lord's name, then you're bound to something. If you invoke the Lord's name in an oath or anything like that, but if you swear by the earth or by the temple or by your head, it's not as important that you keep those kind of oaths. And if that's true, if they really did believe that, then Jesus is refuting that idea here. Again, we see, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. So somebody may not be swearing by God, swearing by his name, but if they are swearing by these things, in a way they still are. All these things are God's. He points out, the earth is God's. It is the footstool for his feet. Jerusalem is God's. That is his city. We cannot change our hair. I mean, really, we can't change it, like actually change it, but who can? God can. All these things are God's. And that's what all of this boils down to. That's why we need to treat people a certain way and be honest with them. They're God's creation. They belong to him. That is why our mouths shouldn't speak falsehood. God created our mouths. This mouth belongs to God. And so on and so forth. It's all God's. So it is important that we are committed to the truth, that we are committed to the truth in what we say, and also what we say we're going to do. We need to be people of our word. Now, what does this have to do with raising kids? Marriage. How we treat others. When Jesus said this, again in verse 33 of Matthew 5, he said, again, you have heard that the ancients were told. And we understand that Jesus is pointing out that maybe they have heard some things, and maybe they have a partial understanding of what God's intent was, but that they don't necessarily know God's way. Jesus is going to tell them God's way. We hear a lot of things in this world about raising kids and about marriage and about how we treat others. And maybe we have a lot of notions about what it means to do these things, but what is God's view about it? This is something that we need to know, because when we become a Christian, or when we became a Christian, in a way we are saying that we are going to have a particular view about things, that we are going to act a certain way in regard to these things. First of all, when we become a Christian, or when we became a Christian, with our actions we were saying that we are going to be disciples of Christ, and that the Lord is going to be our teacher, and that our life is going to be a life that he would desire us to have. And because of that, when we become Christians, we are saying that we will live our marriages like he says to live them. Wives, being subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, Ephesians 5:22. Husbands, loving your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Holding on to the tenet that marriage is a lifetime thing. Jesus said about it in Matthew 19 and verse 6, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. When we become a Christian, we are saying that we will raise our kids how he desires, bringing them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. When we become a Christian, we are saying that we will have the view that God wants us to have of one another. 1 John 3 and verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. These are the things that God wants us to be committed to. And so because of that, we should actually commit to them. If someone were to invite you to dinner, and your answer to them was very noncommittal, like, we'll see how I feel that night. We'll see. And maybe. Are you going to go to that dinner? What if somebody invited you to 10 dinners, and every single time you answered the same way? How many of those dinners are we going to make? Half of them? Less than that? We cannot be less than 50% of who God wants us to be towards our children, towards our spouses, towards others. And that changes when, thinking about this dinner example, when we say, yes, Lord willing, I am going to be there. That's a very good start to being committed. Now it's just time for the actions to match. Jesus says, let your answer be a simple yes, yes, or no, no. And we need to be yes people. Are we going to cherish our marriages? Are we going to teach our children about God? Are we going to love our brethren? Our answer to that shouldn't be, I mean, it just depends, I guess, on the situation. We'll just see how it goes. But our answer should be yes. Yes, I will. And with the Lord's help, we'll do that. Now, that's a pretty good cover. We're off to a good start with that. And now, let's make the story match and do those things. God's way is the absolute best way to live. That is why he tells us how to live that way. Commitments can be scary things. There's people in this world that really don't like commitments. But if we commit to living the way that God wants us to, we are saying yes to living our lives better than we did before, but also we are saying yes to experiencing a better life. More importantly, we're saying yes to eternal life. And if you need to do that this evening, if you would love to turn your life over to our Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized in his name, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.